Welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church, and we especially want to welcome you that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have a meaningful experience in our worship service this morning and that you will come back and visit us often. I want to ask that members and visitors alike please register your attendance as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, and if you would pass them down to one end of the pew and then back to the center, and if the person on the center aisle would tear those off and place in the offering plates. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock this afternoon, there will be a grief workshop dealing with the losses in life, and that workshop will be presented by the Agape Pastoral Counseling Center and Main Street's Congregational Nursing Program. And I'm sure that some of you are looking at this and says, I have not had a loss in my life. I haven't had a death. There's no reason for me to need to attend a grieving workshop. But grief comes in many forms. It's not just associated with the loss of a loved one. It can be associated with the loss of dreams, with marriage situations. There are many forms of grieving. And again, you may say, well, I don't have that. But have you ever been in a situation where you would like to minister to someone who is grieving? Think about that, and please think about attending the grieving workshop this afternoon, again, at 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the Trinity classroom, and we hope that many of you will attend that workshop. There will also be a fundraising dinner on December the 4th for Dr. Steve Skinner, who will be making another medical mission trip to Honduras. Tickets are $5 apiece, and they will be on sale immediately following the worship service just outside the door here, or you can purchase them from the church office. Reminder to all of the men of the church that the United Methodist men will be meeting this Tuesday, November the 15th at 5:30. If you would use the registration cards or reservation cards in the pew to make a reservation for that meal on Tuesday at 5:30. And now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Will you please stand for our call to worship? Trust in the Lord at all times, O peoples of the earth. We will pour out our hearts before God. God is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in trouble. We will trust and not be afraid. Be seated. Please join me in the invocation. O God, you are a faithful lover. We trust you, for you do good all the days of your life. You create with willing hands, rejoicing in your labor. You open your hands to the poor and reach out to the needy. Let us love you as you love us. Then we will love our neighbors as you love them. Amen.
On our community concerns this morning, I want to lift up, first of all, an opportunity to serve November the 19th and the 20th. Our men's club, and I believe some of our youth and anyone else who would like to, will be working that Friday and that Saturday at the Salvation Army homeless shelter, helping to renovate it for use as a cold weather shelter. About 9 o'clock each morning on November the 19th and 20th, we will be there working, renovating the Presley Street Salvation Army homeless shelter. Very important note to put down. On our concerns, Mildred Scurry. And we found this morning that V. Carter did pass away this morning about 6 a.m. Alma Cromer recovering. Bill Baxter recovering. Claudia Kaysen recovering. Beth Gray ongoing treatment, as well as Joyce Bartless. Joyce Rourke at home recovering. And Patty Griffith Falal, your former pastor, also continues to be on our prayer list as a concern. We have a Thanksgiving today as well, and that is that Janet Fitz will be joining by transfer, and I will ask her to stand with me at the end of the service to be welcomed by Main Street as a new member. And we'll ask Everett to go ahead and stand with her, though his charge conference membership will remain where it is. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord and guiding Spirit, we know the prayer is wrong to pray thanks to you for being better than others. And we are not better. Our very acceptance of your love is based on knowing our great need of your forgiveness and your grace. We thank you, Father, for loving us even though we are no better, no more worthy than any other sinner of the great love you have offered the world in Jesus Christ. We thank you for drawing us into humility and repentance and faith and trust in you. Now, Lord, we pray that you do more than accept us, more than love and forgive us. We pray that you use us. Use all that we have and all that we are and even our wisdom gained from pain to invite those sitting in personal darkness into the light and love and family of God. Grow in us the desire to share and show our faith more openly, we pray. Grow in us the desire to be great in the ways Jesus was great, by serving in humility in your name. Remind us that what we have is not the result of our cleverness for choosing the right parents or country or time to be born. We are what you have given us. Now make us more willing to become what you intend, agents of your will in this outpost of your kingdom. We trust you. Help us be more trustworthy. We love you and accept your love. Help us be more loving. We thank you for the means to make a living and the surplus beyond. Help us be more generous and not afraid to give sacrificially of ourselves. Do not leave us satisfied with a faith that cost us nothing. Give us to grow beyond these walls and beyond our comfort zones and into your service fully and faithfully. And in all humility, praise you for the honor and opportunity to have lives with meaning beyond ourselves. Now, Lord, we do pray for those who grieve. We do pray for those who need your guidance and your assurance. We do pray for ourselves and our families and the difficult decisions we must make. We pray for the leaders of the nations of this world, that they be more open to the influence of your Spirit and the things that make for peace. And now, Lord, we lift up the private prayers of our hearts before you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in Jesus' name, as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have an opportunity today to celebrate the accomplishment of one of our members, and I will ask our youth minister, Jack Carmody, and Graham Schaefer and Graham's parents to come forward, and I will meet y'all right down front for this recognition, this honor of God and life awarded through the Boy Scouts, but to Graham for his work through the church as he explores his faith and the ways that it is shared and shown in his life. And since Jack has led him through this process, we'll allow Jack to pin that on Graham at the appropriate time. It is appropriate for the people of God, gathered as a community of faith and worship, to share with one another in recognition of outstanding accomplishment by one of their own. Thus the joy of one becomes the joy of all. Now, Graham, as you stand before this congregation, and we do recognize your accomplishment, the church does seek to provide opportunities for worship, for study, for service and fellowship. And as one means of nurture and growth for the development of Christian faith and discipleship, our church uses the God and Country Program series. A young person voluntarily chooses to enroll in the God and Country Program under the supervision of a minister and as our youth director in this case. In committing oneself to this program, the young person chooses to go beyond the regular expectations of Sunday school experience and to become involved in an intentional and personal study program. It is a program which requires a commitment of time and energy to study and to act out the faith, along with an expectation to seek, to continue, and to grow. The young person seeks to follow the example set forth by Jesus, for it was recorded that in the Gospel of Luke that he grew and became strong, and he was full of wisdom, and God's blessings were upon him. Now, Graham has completed the requirements of study and service for the God and Life study program, and has earned the right and privilege of wearing this emblem that Jack now holds in recognition of his accomplishment. And now, Jack, if you would please pin that emblem in the appropriate place. And as he does that, I ask you all to join me in the service of recognition, the prayer of recognition, and the congregational response. Let us pray. Lord, your Son has called all of us into the adventures of learning and serving. Here today we celebrate a milestone as one among us has answered that call in a special and intentional way. We thank you for Graham. And for this moment of joyous celebration, we rejoice in this accomplishment, knowing that it is only one step in the total journey of learning and serving. Continue to challenge all of us to give ourselves to the task of learning and serving, that your kingdom may become a reality in and through our lives. Amen. And it fits in my sermon beautifully. Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations to you, too. I'll call the children forward now for our children's sermon today with Kathy Kelly. With Kathy Kelly. I'm sorry.
Good morning. I have somebody different up here with me today. And what does he have with him? A box. Do you think something's in that box? It sounds like it might be. Let's see what's in this box. Let's see. I have a little pet in here. What is it? It's a turtle. It's Myrtle the turtle. How about that? What do turtles do when they get scared? See, he doesn't like people. He hides in his shell. Do you see his head? Is it hiding? He's hiding. No, that's his tail. That's his tail. See? Is he going to peek out at you? He's going to peek out. Oh, and he sees all these people and he's so scared. And he hides. Are you ever afraid of something?
No.
Is there anything you're scared of?
No.
Are you scared of the dark?
No.
What? Huh? Bats? Griffin is scared of dark. Snakes and bats and thunder. Do you know that all of us are scared of something? If you really got to thinking about it, all of us. What are you scared of, Hampton? Rattlesnakes. Julia? Water snakes. So there are a lot of things to be scared of. But you know, you're not. But you know what? God gives us strength to overcome that. We're going to read a scripture in just a little bit where God gave several people something and one of them didn't do anything with it and one did. And can this turtle move around with his head in his shell? No. He has to be very brave and he has to show his head before he can move, right? So sometimes we need to come out of our shell to be able to be strong. And God will give us the strength to do that. Well, I know he's made out of paper, but we're just pretending. Let's say a prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your comfort and your strength to overcome our fears. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pass the peace.
Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, book of Judges, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. After Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth-Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites, for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinadab, from Kedesh and Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to Kishon River and give him your hands." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Spare us, Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature. You are of God and earth the Son. You will I cherish, you will I honor, you my soul's glory, joy and crown. You my soul's glory, joy and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, that who makes the woeful heart to sing, who makes the woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels heaven can boast, than all the angels heaven can boast.
Our second reading this morning is from First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth and all the fullness thereof belongs to you. We thank you for entrusting a portion of it unto our hands for the brief span of our lives. Bless this portion, these tithes we return unto you, to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 14 through 30. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. On my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have more, for all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you. our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, this parable of the talents is troubling. Why was the master of the story so angry at the man who, out of fear, buried his talent in the ground? He didn't use it, but he didn't lose it either. There's a rabbi who said, in the coming world, you will not be asked, why were you not Moses? You will be asked, why were you not you? The parable says the master knew each servant's abilities and gave talents according to their abilities. Not more, not less, but gave gifts according to their abilities and expected a return on the gifts. Your life is a gift from God. Your days and hours and minutes are opportunities to give a return to God. We often speak disparagingly of people who waste their lives, but you know, by criticizing those who waste, aren't we implying that we know what is worthy to spend our life upon? What is worthy of our time? Did you think your time was just for you? The love and forgiveness you were given in Jesus Christ are gifts from God. Have you multiplied them upon others? Have you passed it on? Did you think that that was just for you? Your talents and abilities to build up God's church, have you? So often Christian churches nurture musicians and launch them on careers. Then they find out that there's more money and more fame on the secular side, so they cross over and they cease using their talent for God and instead use it for themselves. And sometimes when we see that, we are critical. And we say, look! Look at them using all that God-given talent as if it was just for them to begin with. You have talent and you have abilities. Did you think it was just for you? And your money. This parable and several others speak of a master who entrusts wealth to his servants with an expectation that they remember whose money it was and whose money it will be. You've been entrusted with some amount of money, at least for the short time you walked this earth. Did you think that it was just for you? This entire chapter of Matthew 25 warns that preparation is necessary and that giving God a return on God's investment in you is necessary. And then it ends with compassion for others in need is necessary. And I say warns because judgment is on the other end of failure to prepare, failure to give God an expected return, and failure to show compassion to others. Fear is no excuse. You are and you have some unique part in God's plan. You may not be Moses, but you must be you. The you God entrusted and enabled and expected you to be. You are not here just for you. Do you think that playing it safe and giving counsel to your fears and cruising through life, keeping your head down and making hardly a wave or a wake, was what God had planned for your whole life? In the Peanuts cartoon, in Charlie Brown cartoon years ago, Lucy asked Charlie Brown, "Why do you think we were put here on earth?" And Charlie answers, "Well, to make other people happy." And Lucy starts thinking to herself and she says, "I don't think I'm making anyone happy." And then she gets angry and she says, "But nobody's making me very happy either. Somebody's not doing their job." Now Lucy saw the problem, but then immediately saw it as somebody else's problem. When attendance is down, somebody's not doing their job. When children don't make it to Sunday school or youth don't make it to youth group, somebody's not doing their job. When the budget is down, somebody's not doing their job. When volunteers with talents fail to volunteer, somebody's not doing their job. We see the problem, but is it somebody else's problem? Or is it fear or sloth or selfishness that keeps our gifts wrapped and dusty on the shelf just for us, just in case we need them later on? We might as well bury them. Did you think you were here just for you? That's not what Jesus taught, and that's not the way He lived before us. In Matthew 20, 26, it says, "Whoever wishes to be great among you must be a servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." You are important as a servant, as Jesus was. Frederick Buechner said, "God created you simply because the party would not be complete without you. God looked around the vast universe and realized something was missing, that something was you. And in great love and great care, God created you in order that the universe might be complete. What you are and what you have and how you love and how you show it are essential parts of God's plan. And we spend our lives, if we spend them faithfully, unwrapping our gifts and ways we can use them." Will Willimon suggests, "We do not know until we try how coordinated we are. We do not know until we try how musically inclined we are, how strongly we can lift, how caringly we can listen, how well we can write, how articulately we can speak. Each new discovery about what we can do is a discovery about what God had in mind when God made us. We are a gift and a surprise, even to ourselves sometimes when we try. Who we are made to be, is up to God. But how we use what God has designed is up to us. The master of the parable is angry when out of fear his servant does nothing, just nothing at all, and expects that to be enough. He says, here's what's yours, I've kept it safe. When we fail to use our talent, we fail not only the master, but we fail ourselves. Our lives are not complete. The lives of those around us are not complete if we don't let our lives speak or use what God has given us. You know, the entire self-help industry, the most number of shelves in any bookstore, self-help books. The entire self-help industry is based upon the fact that most people walk around each day feeling a hole in their souls, wondering, "I have all these things, why am I not happy? Isn't there something else that I should be doing?" Well, the answer is yes. We weren't made to operate on selfishness, and we weren't made to make decisions on fear. We were made to be motivated and to live according to faith and trust in God, the same God who has gifted us and emboldened us with salvation over sin and death so that we can live free from fear and so that we can be useful to God with our time, with our talents, and with our money. We were called to, and we can risk, to love. We were called to, and we can risk, to forgive. We were called to, and we can risk, to give generously of our time and our talents and our money. Because we know this, this is what we are made for, to give. Giving is what God has done so completely for us in Christ, and giving is what we are called to do in the name of Christ. Giving of our time, our talents, and our money is a witness that we trust God. We trust God. And we witness that our faith has overcome our fear, has overcome our selfishness. Life is a little bit like the game Monopoly. You know, if you keep that money you're dealt out in the beginning of Monopoly and you roll round and round the board investing in nothing and buying nothing and taking no risk, you lose. You're out. You can't possibly do well if you put nothing at risk. But we find pious ways to do nothing with our gifts. Just as the Pharisees in the New Testament that Jesus had so much trouble with found pious ways to put nothing at risk. You know, there's a dangerous theology out there, sort of a folk theology, which claims at its foundation reverence for God's omnipotence. And it sounds pious, and it sounds respectful of God. But taken to the extreme, it produces adherents who believe, for example, If God wants someone in sub-Saharan Africa to be freed from slavery or poverty or oppression, then by gum, God is powerful enough to do that without my help. We don't need to worry or do much of anything. Just sit back and wait for an omnipotent God to see if we're on the selection list, which in the minds of those who hold this theology always does include their own name. Some think if God wants someone fed, God will feed them. If God wants them saved, God will save them. They rationalize God does not need our cooperation. And it's a sin to think that we make any difference at all. That is clearly not what Jesus taught. And in this parable fraught with possible misunderstandings, one thing is clear. God gives gifts and expects us to use them. To build up God's kingdom, not our own. That part is clear. Selfish use of God's gift is out of the question in the parable of the talents. What we have and what we are is for God's use, not our personal possessions to dole out drib and drab as crumbs fall from a table. We have gifts to greater and lesser degrees. And we have abilities and we have money and we have time to greater and lesser degrees. God expects different returns on His investment from different people, but God will not accept nothing or no effort or no risk or no return because we were afraid. That will not do. Remember, this parable was told to Jesus' disciples. And as Jesus' disciples, it is told to us today. We are the ones who have said, I trust you, God, with all that I have and all that I am. We are the ones who have said, we understand that physical life here is short and separated from full understanding of God's plan. So we know enough to hold what we have here lightly, knowing that there is more. There is an eternity more to come. We are those people, knowing all this, we must surmise that some part of God's intention, God's plan for building up His truth and kingdom, not of this world, some part of Jesus' continuing ministry was meant to be done by you and me. God equips us to do what we are called to do. We are able, and we have felt the urging to do more and to reach out beyond our fear and beyond our self-centeredness. We have felt that. But do we? Do we? If we don't, then what part of God's plan for Greenwood or for our families or for our church's future or our witness is not happening? Not happening because we are afraid. What part of God's plan for here and now is not happening because we have rationalized or buried or hidden our talents and resources? You may say, wait a minute, Jim. You cannot thwart God's plans. Well, there you go. Now you've joined that group who says, if God wants this done, it'll happen and God doesn't need us. You need not worry or fret or spend a dime or a minute or a minute of your time or even cross the street. I'd say, wait a minute indeed. You have been given gifts to use, says the parable, and God has invested in you and expects a return. Some things will not happen if you do not overcome fear of failure and use and do and act and risk in God's name. You remember old poor Lazarus in the parable from Luke, whom God desired to be fed. Poor Lazarus at the rich man's, under the rich man's table, eating the scraps. Wasn't God's desire thwarted by the rich man who stepped over him each day, who ignored him each day? And maybe the rich man was afraid that he would need all his riches in retirement and couldn't spare a dime for Lazarus. And when he died, in that teaching, Jesus says that God spoke harshly to the rich man, you had your chance to respond and share and use what I gave you, and you ignored your opportunities. And you ignored Lazarus, and now it is too late. If nothing were at stake, God would not be upset when we don't use our talents. But something great is at stake. Who are we made to be? That is up to God. How we use what God has given us, that is up to us. To employ your talents is to be fully alive. And thus this warning in a poetic form by Amy Cesar. Beware, my body and my soul. Beware above all of crossing your arms and assuming the sterile attitude of the spectator. Because life is not a spectacle. Jesus describes the kingdom of God. To each something is given, great or small. To each is entrusted and each is needed. What has God given you? And what are you doing with it? What have you buried out of fear? Some dream you decided was beyond you. Some hope that you've given up on. Some future that is better from your past. Some ability you don't know you have because you've been afraid to even try. What has God placed in your hands? And what does God want you to do with it for God's sake? Every church I know, Main Street United Methodist included, is more prone to worry over doing too much rather than worrying that we are doing too little. What are we doing for God with what God has given us as a church? What are you doing for God with what God has given you personally? God doesn't call us to be successful, but He does call us to be faithful. God will not ask you at the end of your life, I agree with the rabbi, why you were not Moses, but will ask you why you were not you, with the potential that He knew He had a right to expect. And so get out into the world and become not just something, but the something you are uniquely qualified and gifted and equipped to be. A building block, a brick in God's kingdom. We should not be afraid of risking. We should instead be afraid of not risking, of not acting, of not laying ourselves on the line for God's sake, as the children's sermon said, of not sticking our neck out. The question, God's question, as I see it in this parable, is what are you doing with what I gave you? What are you doing with what God gave you for God's sake? Amen. Please stand. Before our benediction, I do want to thank the McGinnis family for their contribution today to our music, and I want to hold them up as an example of using your talents in new ways to bring new things into our worship service. We want to again welcome Janet Fitz by transfer, and I'll ask Graham Schaefer to stand with me at the end of this service. He also is an example of intentional growth in service as we grow in years and age and also in faith and in outreach in the way we live our faith. Now receive this blessing. Lord, we know that you have come to us in Jesus Christ and you have given us an example of love and forgiveness and grace and compassion to whomsoever will come. We are among those who have come. And now, Father, as we have stepped into the door of faith, lead us ever further in that we might live out our love, our forgiveness, our grace, our compassion, our generosity in ever new ways. Help us discover the talents you have given us, the wisdom you have given us, and find ways to use these things to build your kingdom. Father, we have been blessed. Help us be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.